good husband. Yeah, anything that the wife does that, you know, is, I understand how it's precious to you, however it looks. But it's a unique thing to have in a ham jack, that's for sure. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a marvelous thing, and I hope it's not long before you're nice and toasty in there. And I suppose you have air conditioning for the upcoming season also. And to remove the, you know, the moisture in the air, that wouldn't be good for electronics. Yeah, most certainly that would be a thing to do. So I suppose this is built on a foundation. Do you have step-ups to it or anything like that? I'm trying to make a picture in my head.
With JK4JBQ. Yeah, we got three steps coming into it. KC has what's different about these than the brick steps. I think it may be because he can see through the steps. I'm not sure. But he's really slowed down this winter. His joints are just, you know, I don't know, he's, you know, getting some age on him, and I had two steps. I was putting a tread on the other day for the steps, and I only had two of them on, and he just couldn't navigate it. So I said, well, let me stop what I'm doing right now for you, and let me go ahead and get this third step on. And waited patiently, and then he finally, you know, came on in. But it's his favorite place. I mean, Perry's, let me let my radio drop. These puppies, and they stay on the porch while he's down there welding, or he keeps them down there in the shop. And they are pretty dogs, but they drive me crazy. And they are, KC can't deal with them. I've never heard the dog growl since I've had him, but he has growled more in the past 2 weeks with these puppies. So he came on in the ham shack this morning, and he just, you know, he's been out here all day. I left the door open so he could come to the house, and he just looked at me like, I'm not going in there. I'm going to stay out here.
He's, some animals are nurturing animals. I mean, I'm looking for a word, but nurturing is the best thing in this case. But a lot of times, and maybe depending on the dog breed, the sire, if you might use that word, is not involved in the rearing of the puppies. And in others, there might be a different arrangement. I'm not up on stuff like that, to tell you the truth. But I know that some animals are and some aren't. I know a little more about cats because I used to. Oh, I lived the first place I ever lived outside of the home I was raised in was an apartment building. A small one. I think there was only four apartments on ground level. It wasn't a high rise or anything like that. Had a big backyard. And I want to tell you, it was, there were cats out there all the time going at it. I mean, just awful. So when not occupied with something else, I'd just kind of observe what I could and learn from what I could see, you know. And it was just awful. I won't go any further than that. But anyway, it's a whole, as human beings, we have more choices. Animals are pretty regulated as to how they procreate and how they raise the young ones and all of that, and it don't change. human beings have a lot more and take advantage of a lot more choices. Oh, I wanted to ask you, if you hadn't heard of Little Abner, perhaps Dick Tracy? KK4JBQ.
That's KO4NUE. Yeah, Dick Tracy. I don't remember any comics that, you know, stood out or anything, but I do remember Dick Tracy. Grandpappy used to have, he took the newspaper, but he took it for the TV Guide. You know, he had a separate publication that came with the TV Guide. And he had a little table that stayed there beside his couch, his bed couch. And he called it, you know, being splattered out. I'd come in and say, hey, come in the door. Hey, Pappy, what's going on? Oh, I'm just splattered out. You know, and he'd be lay on the couch. And well, on this table, he had a TV Guide. And he had a pen holder. And he kept his pills and a napkin and two red ink pens and two black ink pens. And all of the westerns he'd circle in red ink, and then anything else he'd circle in black ink. But, you know, I do remember that TV Guide. That thing was like gold, buddy. You know, he'd keep everything circled. And you didn't mess with his ink pens. You didn't mess with the TV Guide. I mean, you mess with him, but don't you touch my ink pens or my TV Guide.
Buddy, you know, I do think that we're able to reach, the longer our lives are, the more entrenched in the things that are comforting, make us happy. But you don't even have to be made content or anything, but just what we've become used to. I've observed this about older people like all my life. And now that I'm getting into that neighborhood of older person, it's a little bit scary. I don't know what comes over people. I really don't. Maybe it won't happen, you know. The world has changed enough, oh, heaven's sakes, the world has changed enough that the old or the established, maybe I should say it that way, the established ways of doing things and of entering your golden years, I'm trying to pick my words here, they just don't apply anymore. So you can be whatever you want to be and push yourself for learning. This is my goal for the rest of my life. If I'm still breathing, I want to be learning something. I didn't go to college until I was in my mid-40s because it was never available to me before. And we made it happen. Donna was raised, you know, college, her bachelor's degree, her master's degree, right out of high school. And I had no such opportunity. Had to make that happen. And we did. And I did that not for what I might do with the degree, but that I wanted to be in a situation where I could learn things all the time. And it's one of the big attractions to this hobby that we're all in. I mean, you can set your sights on learning and achieving goals, you know, license classes are goals to achieve. It's what do they call it? Oh, goodness. Anyway, you are rewarded for achievements in an upgrade to your license. And, well, that's important, but I just like learning all the time. I think you're the same way. KK4JBQ.
Roger that. This is, I guess this hobby is one thing that, I tell you, it really forced me to learn and I have enjoyed every step of it. I mean, every step of it. You know, learning about antennas and learning radios and a little bit of networking. I've got into Arduinos a little bit. And it's really good for my organizational skills, too, because you kind of have to be halfway organized. You know, where did I put those resistors? Or, you know, it's not like a welding machine. You know, where did I put the welding machine? I mean, you know, you got to know where to find all that. So I've got spreadsheets and, you know, this, you know, cabinet 3, drawer 5, compartment 1, you know, that kind of thing. So I've got all my so connectors, just gobs and gobs of it. So I've got a bunch more to go, but you know, there's a method to the madness, I guess. But I will tell you, I built a ham shack. I take my dipoles down, and I'm not happy about that. I get my dipoles up, but I'm gonna make some changes. I'm gonna move the center of the dipoles right over the ham shack, and with that launcher I've got, I'm gonna put two of them on, you know, 90 degrees from one another, so I can. I've never transmitted north to south. It's always been east to west. So I'm gonna start on my dipoles maybe next week, I guess, and try to. Might try that Saturday, I guess. But kind of looking forward to that. I gotta get my grounding, you know, straightened out. I don't have any grounding for RF situated as of yet. So. I gotta work through that, and that'll take me a good day or a day and a half, I guess.
Ed, R-O-N.
I got you, Ed. I got you. Be there in just a second. Go ahead, Larry.
Interested to hear what Ed has to say, but it's a good thing to focus on your grounding. Not only for safety, of course, but and you don't have the high noise level that, say, I do with houses all around me. I'm in a real urban environment here, and you have no control. I have no control, I should say it that way, over what other people are running in their house. It could be RF noisy as heck, and I got no control over it. The last time I tried anything HF here, my noise level was S9. No kidding. And that's because I live in an RF cesspool here. KK4JDQ.
Love you. First for you, you may consider an intercom system between your shack and the house. I've got one between upstairs and downstairs where I am. So Pam can say dinner's ready, and she doesn't have to yell down the stairs where I couldn't hear her anyway, and I can talk back to her without screaming or having to go up there. So an intercom is something to think about, and they're not that expensive. They tie into your electrical system. And for Larry, I'm wondering if you are familiar with the greatest courses, over.
I didn't hear that well enough to actually understand what you said. KK4JPQ.
Charlene, I'm wondering if you're familiar with the greatest courses.
No, I got it that time, but I'm not. The greatest courses. I believe that's what you said. What you're probably picking up on is my desire to keep learning as I age. Lifelong learning, people call it.
I've got a phone number and a site number for you to look at. The greatest courses are college courses of any subject you can think of. Astronomy, cooking, spices, history, language, anything you can think of. They are normally about 30 lectures, anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes long, basically a college course length. Usually there are about 30 lessons in it, and you can learn anything you want to. It's at your leisure. It's nice to, I get on my treadmill and watch a half an hour lecture while I'm on the treadmill. Over.
Getting it. I subscribed to something similar to that some years ago. It was entitled Keep Your Mind Alive. And that says it all, I guess. It puts the focus back on why you would even want to do something like that. It is, of course, an effort to learn anything. And there are some things that I would be reticent to attempt. I'll be 72 this year. I don't mention that for, you know, applause or anything. That I have reached that age. It's just that things diminish over time, and one of them is the ability to learn. I find I have been making an effort for the last 2.5 years to learn CW, and it won't stick. And I've just been going about it wrong. That's how I'm going to think about it, because I would otherwise be very discouraged. I'm just going about it wrong. So I try different methods, different approaches, and what it amounts to is just nose to the grindstone kind of discipline and commitment. That's what it amounts to. I'm sure that's what it is. Anyhow, I wrote that down, the greatest courses. I suppose if I just put that into Mr. Google, he'll come back with something.
But I can do one better. Phone number is 800-832-2412, and the site is Watch Great Courses, WATCHGREAT courses.com. They range in price from $20 up to several hundred. Always buy them when they're on sale, because right now I just bought one for $40. That normally goes for $160, and you'll see how the sale deal. Once you get on there, they'll start sending you a catalog. But always buy them on sale, and they're always having sales. Over.
That is interesting. I know from there's all involved. I think the greatest cost in learning anything is your time, and if your abilities require more time. And for many of us, it's that way. You know, some people pick up stuff, I mean, like right now. And they have almost I've known them. I know they exist out there. They have an almost inexhaustible bucket to pull things into. I don't. I can't expand my mind that quickly. So, I learned that in college. I didn't go to college until I didn't start until I was 45. And I was what they called a non-traditional student. Most of my classmates were 18 years old. And there was a big gap between us. We had to work together. That was a big back then, back in the 90s, working on projects with teams. So whenever we were choosing up teams, I was the oldest guy on any team, right? Sometimes people wanted that, and most times they didn't. KK4, JBQ.
This was at a community college with kids, I'll call them, and I was always interested because we'd take the test, and I would take them just for fun and go through them, and I would catch questions where the answers that were given out were not quite correct, or there were two answers in a multiple guess. And I'd ask the teacher, what about this one, or what about this one? And she'd go through, and sure enough, she'd finally agree with my interpretation of it. But none of the other kids would say anything. I don't know why. And they were the ones who were going for grades. Over.
You were, like, auditing the course. Yeah, you would think that someone who is trying to achieve something, you know, a grade point average. I know that's at least that's important in college. School, nobody asks you what your GPA was. But, yeah, it was something that really puzzled me. I was an in-state student, and we had a lot of out-state students who had to pay more, you know, to be there. I was a commuter. I drove back and forth. I lived in another city. And if you lived on campus, that was more. So here you are. You could manage a degree in 3 years if you took a full load all the time. But people stretched it out to 5 years. You know, many of the students, they just wanted a part-time. But I had no interest in anything like that. When I got finished with classes, I drove home. And that was it. A non-traditional student, yes, that was me. And I was just a serious learner. But teachers liked me. All the professors liked, you know, the guy who applied himself. Good thing, too, because I needed the extra, I needed to focus a little more. And my professors helped me do that. Gave me incentive and gave me extra help. I really needed it. I was returning after, I mean, it was, golly, Bill, it was better than 20 years out of high school. It was a long time since I, math, for instance, I had a lot of trouble with math. But once I got the right professor and the right head on my shoulders, I took every class he offered. Integral, differential calculus, no problem. I hope Anna is listening, Chad. The teacher you have makes all the difference in the education you live with for the rest of your life. It's a fact. KK4JBQ. Thank you, Ed.
I finished my bachelor's in 3 years. I started the college Saturday after I graduated, or I guess it was on Monday after I graduated on Saturday, and then went through 3 years with one summer break where I worked for driving a circus truck, which is another story. But I want to go back to talking to Chad. I'm going to run upstairs and grab a catalog and read you off some of the courses. You can download them. You can get them on CDs. You can get them on DVDs. I like the DVDs or the CDs because I can play them in the car while I'm on trips. And even on a 20-minute drive, you can pick up on a back and forth. You can finish a whole lecture. So, again, it's learning an education, not necessarily for income. Over.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And, Chad, come on back.
Here at KO4NUE, I've been listening. Y'all just disregard the printer in the background. I'm printing off some of my new Excel sheets I've been working on. So, Ed, I'll have to check that out. Send that to me. And I just also want to let you know I did check out the entry panels. I think I'm just going to build me one. I've got the means, and I can do a couple of things a little different, so I think that's what I'm going to do.
KK4, JBQ. What do you say, Ed?
Going upstairs, Larry.
That's right. Excuse me. It occurs to me to ask if you have eaten at Bernice's table, am I just unusual? I think she's the best cook. I had a lot of good cooks in my family. My mother, best biscuits. Oh, my goodness, best biscuits you've ever put in your mouth. my Aunt Alma, bless her heart, she made the best fried chicken. And I could, oh, and my grandmother on my dad's side, she made the best creamed corn. All these women, in some cases, well, for these particular dishes, my mother taught me how to make biscuits. My Aunt Alma taught me how to fry chicken. And my grandmother on my dad's side, she taught me how to make that creamed corn. And the joke in the family was, oh goodness, I think it was one of my dad's uncles. So it's one of, yeah. He said, his uncle said that he could eat that cream corn until he could stick his finger back into the back of his mouth and touch it. Picture that, if you will. And so eating is important, but it can be such a joy if you have a good cook. And I know Anna's a good cook. I've eaten at her table. But how about the rest of the family that you're aware of? KK4JBQ.
So, both of my grandmothers, my grandmother on my father's side, which be me, Ma, and then my grandmother on my mother's side, I just called her Grandma. But, boy, I'm telling you, they could make, you know, the most impossible food just be perfect, you know. And it didn't matter, both grandmothers, if I used to love to hunt, and whatever I brought home, they would make something out of it. Grandmother on my dad's side, Meemaw, she made a dove pie. Back when I grew up, you know, we had dove season. You could hunt, and doves were pretty prolific because of all the cotton. But when cotton moved out, you know, the doves moved out too. But Meemaw, dove pie and turtle stew, out of mud turtles now. And my grandmother on my mother's side, she was a master at fish and squirrels, had a couple of woodchucks, and calf brains. It sounds disgusting, but, you know, if it's done right, I mean, man, I'm telling you, some fresh eggs and scramble all that up. Buddy, that and Beverly's bulk sausage comes in a can. My cousin absolutely loved it, but I never could do much with it. But Grandma could always make it taste good. It didn't matter what, and make you like it, you know.
KK4JBQ with KO4NUE. I think that is, that's the mark right there. No matter what it is you have to work with, a good cook can make the right tasty meal. Always really the challenge that I've observed anyway is that it be sustenance, that it be well balanced enough. Now, I wouldn't have known that when I was a kid, but I learned a little bit. I'm a student cook. My mother refused to teach me how to make anything but biscuits, and I insisted. I mean, really, I was in my 20s, all grown up, and I insisted. I said, "Mama, you've got to show me how to make your biscuits." But I started much earlier. Maybe I was 7 or 8, and all the way through early teens, she just refused. She said, "Boys don't learn how to cook. you're going to someday have a wife for that. I said, Mom, come on now. There may be a time when I don't, you know, I leave home, I start working, I move away. So how do I eat? I got to feed myself. She wouldn't listen to that. Her mind did not go there, and I was not going to drag her into that conversation. She never did. But I wanted to learn how to cook before I could see the top of the stove. Yeah, and she pointed that out. Well, you can't even see what I'm doing up here. You'd have to stand on it. I was willing to do that. That was not going to be anything to overcome. But I was frustrated interested in food because I liked the way it tasted. And I knew that it was a complicated thing that would take a while to catch on to. So start young, you know. Women teach your boys how to cook because they will be responsible to feed themselves at some point in their life. Don't you agree? KK4JBQ.
For in UE, right. So my grandfather, Pappy, was a good cook, too. And to be honest with you, he taught me more about cooking than Mima did. She was kind of like, I guess, sort of like your mother in that, you know, you don't need to be worried about this, you know, blah, blah, blah. I got this or whatever. But Pappy, now he was a little bit different story. He would actually, you know, take time with me. We'd go in the kitchen and cook and whatnot. But he could take a can of Campbell's tomato soup and turn it into a Michelin five star can of soup. You know, it had to do it a certain way. He had to cut the onion a certain way. I remember him teaching me how to cut the onion. And, and he used to tell me, you know, every now and then we'd fix some hot dogs. And he'd tell me the same story every time we'd cook hot dogs. You know, man gets hungry and, you know, I can go get a steak if we want, he says. But when you got a craving for something, that's going to be better than any steak you could ever buy. And I knew we'd going to have hot dogs. So he'd take the hot dogs, and the secret to it was he had, after he boiled the weenies, he had a piece of screen wire that come out of the, you know, looked like something to come out of the screen door. And he'd lay that over that pan with that hot water in it, and he'd open the buns and lay the buns on top of that, and it would steam them and make that bread just, you know, super soft. And, I told you how to cut the onions. If you cut the onions the same way you cut it for the soup, they'll lay right down in that bun and just, you know, every little detail. And I think of him every time I open a can of Campbell's tomato soup, black pepper, and heavy milk, butter, salt, pepper, and you got to taste it along the way. And boy, I'm telling you, nothing better than that in a grilled cheese sandwich.
I don't think you and I missed anything. Others may, because we didn't grow up eating the kind of things that other people ate. I grew up in a really small town. There was no eat-out restaurant, not one, until I was probably past my teen years. And then we had two moved in, one across the street from the other. And one was a sit down, and one was a walk through. If you wanted fast, you got out of your car, and you walk in one door and pick up the food on the way down the line, and walk out the other door. It's since become a sit down place, of course. But when I was young, you ate at home. There was no eating out at all. changing. I grant that. And it won't be terribly long, not as long as it has been, before I'm out of this world. I'm gone. And the rest of you can have it. It's the way I feel about it. The way it's going, you can have it. I treasure, though, the things that... And the way I was brought up, I do treasure that. I was brought up by good people who had my best interest in mind. That was all they were thinking about. And, of course, it was with their values and everything. And I learned along the way that sometimes that's not the very best. So I changed accordingly. This is the kind of upbringing that I feel fortunate to have. And sounds like you had the same or a similar good fortune. A big family is important. Not so much the family you were born into, but the extended family. And I've talked with you enough to know that you had relatives close by. You could play with your cousins and stuff like that. That's important. Yeah, so anyhow, I want to keep you past getting tired of it. But I've enjoyed talking to you. And I am thrilled with what you have achieved in such short time. How many weeks or days has it been since you started the project?
I'm not sure, Larry. I'm going to say close to 3 weeks, I think. I started adding the lumber up and this, that, and the other, and I just remember thinking, oh, yeah, I can be done with this thing about 4 days. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I mean, the roof itself took me 3 days and... Well, probably four, because I had to rest one day. I was doggone sore, you know. The shingles just wasn't the sheeting. The sheeting, I got up there with Bobcat. But, my goodness, just sore muscles and sore back and shingles, wore my jeans out, put a hole in not my jeans, but my overalls, you know, wore the knees out on them. But, you know, it just took me a lot longer than I anticipated.
Yeah, I do understand that. And the truth about it is, you accomplished all of the tasks that it takes to construct a modern build. Now, if you're good in the trades, if you're good at plumbing, you don't have to go any further than that. If you're good at construction with dimension lumber, you don't have to go any farther than that. But there's a hierarchy. If you were really talented with moldings and selection of finishes, paint, that kind of thing, maybe you'd be a finish person, finish carpenter, or any of the other trades. But you wore all the hats. And without any of the specialized tools that one would need, you know, like knee pads, for instance, that would have saved your pants and probably made it easier on your knees as well. I've never worn holes in my pants. I was taught, because I had to hand my clothes down to siblings, you know. They had to be, I mean, my mother was after me from the moment I got a new pair of shoes, that somebody else was going to have those shoes and my pants and my coat, you know, everything. It was all going to be passed down. I don't regret getting that value system. I don't. But my siblings didn't have the same attitude toward their clothes. You know, they come with them. They come in them all dirty and all ripped up, and you know, expect a new pair. I took care of what I had, and to this day, I don't mind telling you. I know it's probably embarrassing most people, but I've got the clothes that I've had for 20 years, and I'd wear them today because I'm not hard on things. Now that I've said it, KK4JBQ.
And I'm back. The site is called The Great Courses rather than Watch, and the phone number is the same. And I grabbed a couple of catalogs and just looked through these to give you an idea of what's there. You were talking about food. From seeds to harvest, learn how to grow fresh and delicious fruits and vegetables, no matter where you live. And then Great Masters for Music, Thinking Like an Economist, How Conversation Works, Investigating American Presidents, Music Great Masters, Earth's Changing Climate, Understanding Complexity, The Everyday Guide to Spirits and Cocktails, and on. Here's some on the cover. Early Humans, Ice Stone and Survival, Nature Watching. Let's see, The Real History of Dracula, Where Our Food Really Comes From. These are the ones that are out on the cover of these things. I've got three catalogs here. Once you get on the list, they just keep coming. Early Humans, the stuff about humans. What's this one here? Banned books, burn books forbidden by literary works. Negro League Baseball, Rediscovering the Age of Dinosaurs, Learning Japanese, Creation Stories of the Ancient World, Discovering West Africa. They have a lot of travel stuff. Here's one, American Sign Language. You can learn American Sign Language by watching these things, by taking a class. The real advantage of these things is, as opposed to sitting in a classroom, you can play these things back. Over.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting. Send me, is there a link for it?
It's www.thegreatcoursesalltogether.com, and you can order it online. It takes them about 2 days to get here, but again, you want to make sure you buy them on sale. Here's one. The price was $169. They're selling it for $20. There are some that are DVDs, some you download. I like the CDs. They're not all on CDs now. But on the CDs, you can play them in a vehicle while you travel. But let's see. Here's take a deep dive into one of the most captivating years in history, how the Middle Ages made the modern world. You name the subject, and there's going to be something on it. Over.
Okay. Well, I'll check it out, Ed. I'll check it out. See what that looks like.
Reminder, you might check out, Walmart has them, and they're not expensive. It's an intercom between a house and your shack. I think you'll find it well worth having that as opposed to two tin cans and a string. Over.
Thank you. I'd add to Ed's suggestion of an intercom. As you well know, Ed doesn't know, but Chad is aware that I still have a landline phone, and we also have cell phones, but the landline phone is useful, uniquely useful in some ways. This one was purchased as a kit. There were actually four receiver transmitters and a base. So we could locate. We have an upstairs and downstairs, and we could locate these things in like five different areas. You close the door on a room to keep a cat out, for instance, as Donna does in her office / studio, or I do in the bonus room where I have, you know, working on other things as well. You won't hear that phone ring unless you have a remote unit there. So, okay, so we spread five phones around, landline phones. It has an intercom for one remote station to call the other station, and it's another way of achieving an intercom. Just wanted to toss that in there for extra measure. KK4JBQ.
It's KO4NUE, so here's how we, you know, fix that. So about 2 weeks ago when I decided I was going to build this thing, I mean 2 months ago, sorry, I ordered an extra FT-65, so I keep a little, you know, got a handy in the house, and, you know, radio's on always, going to always be on out here anyway, so we got her own little simplex we use here on the farm anyway, but she's licensed, so what other, I mean, that's pretty good intercom to me. What do you think?
That works just fine. Donna's licensed, but I really don't, I've suggested this. Even once when I was, well, I was on one side of the house, and she was on the other side of the house. And I suggested, we had a couple of Baofengs at the time, you know, you can't get better than a $35 radio that's a great receiver. I use those things as extension speakers. Poor transmitters, perhaps, but, you know, just to go from one side of the house to the other, I found that I could not talk to her on the other side of the house. You say she's in front and I'm in the back. It's a complete dead zone. The sound does not go up and then back down again to get to the other side of the house. Well, I had the hardest time motivating her to use that, like, you know, you would use a radio. I can't understand that. I cannot explain it. I cannot. And if you and Hannah have that arrangement, then that's good, and that's well and good enough, and it's always with you. These things, most of them come with belt clips, you know. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI4. The only thing about that is, which is how I learned about this hobby to start with, anything here on analog, anybody with just a conventional scanner can hear. So, when you're using even simplex on the VHF, UHF ham bands, always keep in mind you can be heard. Y'all carry on. I've just been monitored. KI4LZI portable.
Nice hearing from you. Hope you're doing well. And you're right. I mean, we don't, you know, we don't, we're always careful what you say, you know. But I got you.
Well, Dad, that's all I had to point out. Just remember, anyone can hear it. And if you're in an area where there's a lot of, and by some luck, they have a scanner programmable. It is possible. Go ahead, Larry. You double with them, but that's really all I had to say. KI4LZI portable.
Thank you, Andy. You make a good point. KK4JBQ.
I'm gonna call it quits for the night. Showing my tired, so I'm gonna figure out something to do. Maybe go get me a coffee pot in the morning, like Gary said. Get me a coffee pot out here. And I guess I'll start going and getting some of my other electrical stuff. And I got them all in little boxes with compartments on them, so start hanging that on the wall. But, Andy, nice hearing from you. Ed, you too. Larry, y'all have a nice evening. And, maybe we'll see you later on down the log. It's KO4NUE 73, gentlemen. I'm clear.
This is Chad, and thank you for calling me out there. It's been nice talking to you. And Ed and Andy, nice that you would join us. I am, I don't get exhausted anymore because my time is my own and I take naps. But I'm sure I'm tired a little bit too. This is KK4JBQ. I will be clear. 7-3.
ON, I'm securing station out.